Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you today. Lord, I pray as we open our hearts and minds to you, I pray, sir, that you flood our spirit beings, our inner man, with revelation. Flood our minds with it. Fill our hearts with light of your word that takes command of our flesh and the things that are causing problems and sickness and disease and all of the whole realm of dangers that Satan has set traps to catch us and kill us in. And we receive it, sir, and we thank you and give you all the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Doc, this is good, man.
Amen.
This is good stuff. Dr. Colbert, everybody, in case you didn't already know. Let's take a look here in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians. I want to track through some things here. We're talking about the integrated system of spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul that's part of your spirit, made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And you have a physical body in which you, your soul, live. Now, the quickest way to get a good concept of that is this, particularly on the mental and intellectual part of a human being. This soul man includes the mind. The brain is a physical organ, but the physical organ of the brain uses the brain to contact this natural physical world. Now, this is not science. This is concept from the Word of God. Now, I want you to understand this. The brain didn't get, and the mind didn't get renewed. Reborn. You have to renew that.
Sure.
So now you got to deal with this physical body. But you know what? You got to feed all three of them. You have to feed the spirit in order to produce faith. You have to feed the mind, the will, and the emotions with the Word of God, because if you don't, you won't have any will power. You'll have no, you'll just be a mental mess if all you ever eat is mental candy.
That's right.
So now the same thing's true with this physical body. God created every living thing to require nourishment. It's part of the joy of being alive. And He created the food that properly nourishes the spirit, the soul, the body. He's not going to require nourishment and then just not provide the food. Now, that'd be unjust as it could be. So the food that feeds the spirit, the food that feeds the intellectual part, the food that feeds the body is extremely important to God, and He's done a good job.
Absolutely.
All three of them got fouled up by men.
That's right.
And so religion is not food for the spirit.
That's true.
Religion is it is to the spirit man what junk food, man contaminated food, is genetically altered. In fact, that's what Jesse Duplantis called religion, genetically altered Bible. So and it has the same effect. It
Amen.
Dumbs the spirit down, makes the spirit, makes the faith weak and fear strong.
Sure.
So now, 1 Corinthians 3. Know ye not, evidently we're supposed to be knowing this.
Absolutely.
Know ye not that you're the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Next verse. Let no man deceive himself. Now, sixth chapter. And here again, 19th verse. What? You mean you don't know? I just told you what already. You still don't know.
Still don't know.
What? Know ye not your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Now, grab this with every fiber of your spirit and your mind. Get this. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So your body is as important in this as your spirit.
Amen.
This is... When this revelation struck me like it did, it made me tremble all over. I'd read these verses over and over and over again. The thing that had happened to me is in Romans 12, the Lord brought me to this in a specific situation where that needed faith strong, I'm standing against the wiles of the devil and fighting the good fight of faith. And in several different areas at once. So he took me back to this. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Now look what he calls your body. He didn't say you present it holy. He said, that body belongs to me and I call it holy.
Amen.
Acceptable. God will accept it, but it's your and my job
to offer that sacrifice.
Yes, sir. Yes,
that's an acceptable sacrifice. Now remember, the sacrifice in the Old Testament had to be without spot or blemish. Now here, we, cleansed with the blood of Jesus, are an acceptable sacrifice, but we have to be willing to lay this flesh on the altar.
Yes, we do. Because it don't belong to you.
It's not yours, absolutely.
I had to go through a mind-renewing process, or I stopped calling this my body. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I keep my body under. He said, in me, that is in my body, is no good thing. So that's not unscriptural to do that. I was renewing my mind. And to change the way, my concept of this thing. And so I said, this is my living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. It doesn't belong to me, it belongs to Jesus. I heard myself say, this is a body of Christ. I thought, should I ought to say that? Well, yeah.
That's right.
This is a body, not the body. But it is a cell of the body of Christ. Just like you've got cells and each of those little cells contain your complete DNA. So, and that's what the scripture uses as a picture of the body of Christ. We're a cell. You're a
Amen.
Cell. And we're connected.
We're all connected.
Well, now, if your cell is sick, you're affecting me. If you're spiritually sick, you're affecting me. If you're mentally sick in line with the Word of God, the hope deferred makes the spirit sick.
Amen.
Scripture says, and so forth and so on. So I began saying that. It just rose up like a faith giant on the inside of me. All of a sudden, my flesh wasn't getting away with what it had
Amen.
Been. It had been putting a lot. It wasn't getting away with it, but it has taken some quality faith time of mind to keep it down, which is areas which just needed correcting. And that revelation became so strong. I still have to exercise my faith, but my faith was stronger is what,
Amen.
What I'm trying to say.
And Galatians chapter 5, verse, I believe it's 24, says, those that are Christ, in other words, if you're a Christian, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross, and crucify them there. Hmm. There are certain things that we as Christians have to nail to the cross and nail them there every day or once and for all.
It is not optional.
It's not optional if you want to walk in divine health.
That's right. Well, if you want to call yourself obedient to God, because you got to be disobedient to cross that line.
But that's where you've got to be led by the Spirit and not led by the flesh. There's so many Christians that are led, most Christians are led by the flesh and not by the Spirit. Because a spirit man, when you're full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit, you're going to do what the Holy Spirit instructs you to do. And there's too many Christians out there that are led by the flesh, eating whatever they want, having strife, having offense, you know, having all living like the world. And as a result, they're not partakers of the divine nature, and they're not walking in faith, and they're not walking in favor, and the peace of God, and the love of God, and all the fruit of the Spirit, because we've got to be led by the Spirit of God.
It's that is so big, man. That's primary.
And we don't have the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord's our strength. Yet where's the joy of the Lord?
Yeah, but you take my ice cream away from me, I ain't gonna have any joy.
That's why I gotta crucify the flesh.
Now, I just got offended. See, there's offense in that. Where did the offense, I got mad at you because you talked to me this way.
And?
Now what happened?
Because you got fear that I'm gonna take your sugar away from you and your bread away and your ice cream. Because every night, so many of my patients love to sit in front of that TV and eat not just a bowl, but eat a carton of that ice cream.
Yeah.
And they like to do it every night. And literally, the flesh, it's their comfort food. And the Holy Ghost is supposed to be your comforter, not a bowl of ice cream, or not a loaf of bread, or not a fudge brownie, or an Oreo cookie, or a chocolate chip cookie, or a soda, or whatever. That's not your comforter. The Holy Ghost needs to be your comforter. And that's why we have to learn to every day crucify this flesh.
Let me tell you something else. There's a lot of guys like to sit in front of the TV and have three martinis before he goes to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, come on, man. I mean, who are you? Well, that's different. It is not different. It's the same thing with a different substance. One guy's addicted to that one, you're addicted to this one. Now, I don't care what you're addicted to. If it's not the Word of God, we get addicted to the Word of God. That's what you were created to be addicted to. But when you take the Word of God away and you start anything that will addict you, and it's not the Word, and it's something that some substance of some kind, I'll guarantee you it'd get out of its place. The only thing to drink that I have ever found that I did not get addicted to was water.
Yes,
and the very minute I fix it up a little bit, you know, man, you get to where you can't do without that.
That's right.
And it's the water you need,
that's right.
Not the other stuff.
Not the sugar, this not is the flavor.
This is a basic foundation of the flesh. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, again, when you've become a Christian, you are literally bought by the blood of Jesus. Yet we are saying, it's my body, it's my choices. But we have got to let the choices of Jesus become our choices. And again, it's not legalism. So many people are out there and saying, well, if I eat this and that, if I eat this sugar, if I eat this ham, am I going to go to heaven? Of course you're going to go to heaven. It's not legalistic. But what we're saying, if you continue to make the wrong choices and feed the flesh what it desires, which is generally it leads to corruption or disease, then you're going to go to heaven, but you're going to go there sooner. That's what I'm trying to say.
And a lot of pain.
And a lot of pain, a lot of problems. Corruption, it talks about in Galatians 6, 7, and 8. It says, brethren, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever seed you sow, that shall you also
you are going to reap.
Reap.
You are going to reap.
And
it.
He who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption.
There's not a person in the sound of our voice, Don, that doesn't know it's wrong. Not a one. I don't care. Somebody that doesn't know the Lord. You still have a conscience even if you don't know Jesus, unless you've seared it over some way or another. And you know the choices you make are hurting you. It's all over everywhere. Everybody knows it. People are making billions of dollars off of it and still not fixing the problem. It's getting worse. But the big thing here is we are not putting first the Word of God. We're not putting first the real purpose for this physical body in the earth. It belongs to Jesus and His service. I don't care what you're called to do. You don't have to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to be called of God. Every human being that has a breath, God has a plan for their life. And you're supposed to be the best at that you can possibly be.
But one of the best ways, and you spelled it out so beautifully on how to break the power of the flesh, is again, take the Word of God. Take what the Word says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, that, do you not know you're the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple, him will God destroy. And you simply quote the Word that you are the temple of God and that you refuse to defile this temple. And then in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, you were bought with a price. This is no longer my body. This body belongs to Jesus.
Yes, it does.
Therefore, I'm to glorify God in my body and in my spirit. How do I glorify God in my body? By giving my body the foods and the beverages and the activity that the body needs to thrive and not just survive.
Doing without the stuff is not the point here. Doing with this is the point. This is where the power is.
Amen.
This is where the faith is. This is where quality of life is. Man, I'll just tell you. Well, let me tell you, I'll read it instead of just telling you. Ephesians 5, 30, 29 says, no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, there's a healing scripture for you.
Amen.
We're flesh of His flesh and bone of His bones. But if you don't rightly discern that, you're not taking communion, you're not rightly discerning the body of Christ, this body, and the overall body of Christ, you're sick. Sickness is manifesting itself. And Jesus is not just in the business of healing you after you've already come to the point of death and you're at this last dying breath, oh, heal me, Jesus. He's been trying to keep you divinely well all your life if you just pay attention.
I cannot tell you how many patients I've seen that come to see me with only weeks to live. They're on their deathbed. I just saw a lady yesterday who had cancer throughout her body, in her brain.
Oh, dear Lord.
Literally had only weeks to live. But again, you ask, what have they been sowing? What seeds have they been sowing? Yeah. And they've been sowing, unfortunately, the very foods that invite disease and death into their bodies. Inflammatory foods that inflame the body instead of living foods that rejuvenate and that vitalize the body. And so again, one of the foods I almost always find is sugar. A person who continues to eat sugar, you are inviting degenerative and inflammatory diseases into your body and corruption and cancer. The same goes with highly processed foods. Now, what people don't understand is processed food companies has taken food, they've hired the best food chemists, the best marketers, the best psychologists, and they literally activate the five senses so that foods become irresistible to your five senses.
They want you addicted to it.
So they get you addicted for life, and they don't want you eating just one because it's almost impossible to eat just one. They want you to eat the whole bag, the whole carton, and they want you to eat it every night. And as a result, they're doing this for money. They're not doing it to destroy your health. They're doing it for money, but they have a junkie or an addict that literally can't eat just one. And in doing so, you are inviting disease into your body.
Now, here's the company that made the food. All right, the company made this, and you're gonna eat this, and I mean, you're really gonna pig out on this over and over and over and over, and you're gonna get sick, and you're gonna have this, and you're gonna have that.
But don't say lemon, say lime. It's not the lime, it's the key lime pie.
Yeah.
And don't eat just a slice, they'll eat the whole pie.
You messed up my illustration, Doc. No, you didn't. But then this same company that made this made the little miracle pill that helped you from dying overnight. You created this mess, and now your body is reacting to it, and it's trying to kill you, and then they create the pill that's supposed to keep you alive. My lightning fast mind can figure this out. They're making $1 billion off of the pill, and $900 million off of the.
Isn't that amazing?
The junk.
Many of the processed food companies are creating the addictive foods that get you addicted, that causes the disease, and then the pharmaceutical industry is creating the pill that addresses the symptoms of the disease. It's a win-win situation, and it's money, money, money driven.
Some of the same people own both. Man, I'm tired of being, I'm tired of serving them.
It's a multi-billion, it's trillions and trillions. It's not even billions, it's trillions and trillions of dollars.
Now, in its place, if it takes some kind of drug to keep you from dying today, that's a different thing. We're not dealing with that. And thank God for the real people and doctors like Dr. Colbert that know God and are out to help you. And if it takes it, use whatever drug is necessary to stop this thing. But what we're talking about is divine health, where you don't get sick in the first place. Doc, I can't tell you how I have enjoyed.
Well, you still go skiing.
Yeah.
At 79. That's amazing.
I can't tell you how I've enjoyed not being sick.
Praise God.
This is wonderful. And you know, the older I get, the greater it is,
because
I'm not spending $25,000 a year on pills.
Amen.
I spend my money on skiing.
There's so many people
out
there.
I get to go skiing.
When they get in their 50s and 60s and 70s, they're just kind of idling down. They don't have any energy. They want to sit in front of their TV. But we have grandchildren or great-grandchildren. I have grandchildren. I have babies that I want to keep up with.
Yes,
I want
sir.
To stay active because I enjoy their company. I enjoy imparting the word. I enjoy teaching them to be free of offense, to practice forgiveness, to practice love and joy and peace, and literally downloading the word into this generation coming up. And so in doing so, we have to be examples for them. And so we have to impart the truth to the coming generation.
That is so huge. You know, the scripture just simply said God chose Abraham because he would teach his children.
Amen.
We're out of time. Doc and I'll be back in just a moment.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.